Well, I believe in active learning of the Word of God, and so I want you to be active with me this morning. We're going to start with a test. How's that sound? So would everybody pass these sheets out? I hear you've got them. Now, you've got to keep them folded in half. You can't, no peeking yet. We're all going to start the test at the same time. You get 75 seconds to complete this test successfully, and I know that you can. So we're waiting for everybody to get one. Tell you what, I'll fill the time a little bit. Myrna and I grew up in Ohio. She grew up in New Jersey. We met in New York at Nyack College. That's our alliance school there. Just a few years ago, we graduated in 1974. She taught school in New Jersey a couple of years. I went off to seminary. We eventually ended in Denver, Colorado, where I finished my master's degree there first. And then we moved to Chicago, to a suburb by the name of Bloomingdale, it was a place that was just a farm community that was growing up much like Winter Garden is today, only many years ago. We planted a church there. We had four couples, and actually two couples, the four of us. And from there, has everybody got this yet? We're getting close. We planted a church. We've stayed in that same church for 46 years as of next April. And we love the local church. We're a believer in being committed to the flock that we serve. And these are wonderful people. Much like we've met many of you already. You know, you're folks that love your church and you love God most of all. And you just want to see things go forward, right? So, are we ready for the test? Okay, in a moment, I'm going to let you open it. And I hope you got a pencil. And let's see you complete this test successfully in 75 seconds. Are you ready? Go! You have 30 seconds. Time. Stop. So how many of you think you completed the test successfully? About half of you. Some of you who've completed the test successfully are not convinced that others have done so well. Let's read the directions. Carefully read the directions. They are extremely helpful in completing the test successfully. Make sure you have a working pencil or pen. Find a comfortable posture. Sign your name on the line marked your first name. Now, as soon as you have completed your first name on the first blank line, you have now completed the test. Put down your pencil and pen in quietly while others are completing their tests. Sit quietly so that others complete their test. Now, were some of you looking around at smiling at some other people? What's the problem here? What's the real point? It's always important to follow directions. Particularly us men, we seem to learn that lesson the hard way. Maybe it's, you're getting that piece of furniture from IKEA and, you know, it's all in a box and there's this instruction sheet there and you go, I don't need that. I know what to do. And then you get it all together and you still have got a couple of parts left over. Or maybe it's a barbecue that you get in the box and you're going to put it all together and you can do this. Us men are notorious for this, aren't we? Who needs the directions? I can do this. Come on, you're all looking at me like this is my problem. I think we all have a tendency to do this, right? What's the point? The point is, I think the same is probably true in our faith walk. We think that we know. We think, well, after all, we've been around church for a long time, and I know stuff, and I know how to pray, and I know how to use the right words, and I know my Bible. But the very simple fact is that we don't always follow the directions given right in the book. We don't actually follow them. So my challenge this morning is we turn to an old passage of Scripture, a passage of Scripture that I love, and if you haven't, the outline's right here, and we'll try to keep you up on screen here as much as possible, and I'll try to make sure that's a little better visually for you next week so you can see it. Let's read the directions. But let's not just read the directions. Let's say we're going to actually follow them today. Let's follow the directions. Well, notice the text begins, therefore. Now, therefore is important. Let me give you a little context. Therefore is saying, in other words, in light of all the things that I, Paul, have just said to you, now, let's follow the directions. But the therefore is this, and you'll notice that, Jared, that the Apostle Paul had penned 11 chapters explaining the gospel. And he has presented the stark reality of all of people's sinfulness and their alienation from God. He has proclaimed the hope of God's mercy and the forgiveness of sins through the cross of Christ. And now, in chapter 12, he is going to offer a series of practical applications of these truths. Romans chapter 1 through 11 is wonderful theology. It's wonderful truth about how messed up we are, all of us. And how we need a Savior. And the Savior has provided a way for us. And we can be forgiven and have hope in Him. It's a great basis. And he says, now, on the basis of all of those things being true, therefore, here is my challenge to you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Just briefly, he's urging us. He's saying, this is really important, folks. This is very important on the basis of what's true, chapters 1 through 11. Now, let's do some things here. The text says, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Sacrifices. Look at your definition here. Giving up something that one values for the sake of something else of greater importance. We do that all the time, don't we? Marin and I did that this week. You know, we get in our car and we drive 1,160 miles. It's a long drive. We don't like to fly anymore. We'd just rather drive. Because we actually want to end up in the city where we're intending to go, you know. And it's a long trip. It's kind of boring. Crossed Indiana and down. Well, it starts to get a little better as you move south into Tennessee and all. But it's a long trip. And we do it twice a year now. We come down, you know, at the beginning of March. And we stay to the end of the March because all the kids' birthdays are fortunately in March. And we do it again in November. Why do we make that sacrifice? Because it's fun? Well, it's okay. But it's really about our 3 grandchildren. And the parents, of course, too. We're still mad at them for having the audacity to take our grandchildren away from Illinois. But, you know, that's the way it works. You make sacrifices in your life for things that are important. And Paul is saying here, you want to make this sacrifice. For all that God has done for us and for you, you can make a commitment here. Your life, in fact, as a living sacrifice. You know the problem that said of living sacrifices, we put our living sacrifice on the altar of God, and then like a day later we pull it back off, because living kind of walks away, you know. And we have to keep calling ourselves back to living that life of sacrifice. And that's really what he's saying. For this is your holy and pleasing service to God, your spiritual act of worship. It's something that you do. It's not just something that you feel. I mean, we all want to feel truth, and we want to believe truth, but we actually have to do something about it. It's a spiritual act of worship. It's not just something that we think about. And then that next verse. And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Conform, meaning, you know, you fashion your life around what someone else thinks. You conform, that is, you begin to define your life. This is my struggle. I think that we naturally tend to define our life around what we want, what we like, what we feel comfortable about. And it doesn't matter whether we've been a Christian for 5 minutes or 50 years, we tend to still have that self inside of us that says, I kind of like things to go my way. I kind of like to define my life according to what I want. But yet, if we're going to live this self-sacrifice life, we choose instead to live our life in connection with God values for us. And we don't define our life as independent of him or exclude him from the daily decisions of our life and the attitudes that we choose to have in our life. No, we no longer conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but we rather follow his pattern in our life. We are conformed to him. You know, and maybe you can't read it, but it says the pattern of this world, what we see is all there is. And we define our significance and our daily choices apart from him. I apologize for that. It was made up for our screen back in Illinois, and I'll fix that for next week. But it's so easy to define our life as to, like, this is it. This is what I see is what it is. But the reality of our life is there's so much more going on. And we don't want to conform ourselves to the pattern of this world alone. I love it's really a paraphrase. It's not a translation, the Phillips translation. It says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. That's supposed to be world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Hey, what's squeezing your life? What's squeezing your life this March? Expectations of your workplace or your school place or even your church or your religious values, or it can be anything. It can be good things, but it may not be God things. It may not really be what his word is saying to us. And there's this challenge to say, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Rather be followers of Jesus. This is interesting. And I want to tie into Galatians 5. You know, what's the battle here? What's really the struggle that we're facing in our life? What's squeezing our life? Well, our goal, of course, is, let's go to that next screen, to be transformed by God's word. Sorry, I had to throw an Illinois picture in there, to just so you understand. There are some pretty spots in Illinois. This is the park back behind our house. To be transformed by God's word and not to be conformed to the world. Is that a struggle for you? Hey, it's a struggle for me, because there's this thing going on inside of me. It's called the old nature and the new nature. Let's read Galatians 6 or 5 there. It says, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so you do not do what you want. Do you feel that? I mean, this struggle between the old self and the new self, the self way and the Spirit way. I feel it. I struggle with it. Let me give you an illustration. In fact, we've got a verse here, I think. Can we slip on our way down here to... there's a reference in Proverbs there, if you can find it. There it is. Just a couple weeks ago, I was actually cleaning up the dishes after supper. Marin and I have this great deal. She makes all the meals because she doesn't trust me. She shouldn't. And the deal is that she makes the food, but I clean up the dishes and put them in the dishwasher. It's a very fair sharing of roles, wouldn't you think? No, I get the great deal out of this. So I'm there cleaning, putting the stuff in the dishwasher, and I think I'm done. And I'm thinking about, I got to go get this message done, and my mind's another place. And she comes, walks in and says, and just very politely puts the dirty pan on the counter and says, you didn't get this yet. And I wanted to just bristle and say, hey, I've got important things to do here. But fortunately, we've been memorizing Proverbs together. And as I just was about to let the old nature take control, this Proverbs came to mind. Even fools are thought to be wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongue. I wish I could say I always won that battle, but I don't. And my guess is you don't either. But I'll tell you something, that having the Word of God in your life and allowing that to be right there really helps. And so that's one of the pitches that I make here, is that if we're really going to live by the Spirit, we're going to have to be well educated and alive with the Word of God on an ongoing basis. Well, Galatians 5:7. Here we can back up to that screen there. You know, the sinful side is being conformed to the world. It's insisting on my own way. It's having my definition of God and my definition of the way my life should go. And we all have it. Or there's the Spirit side. It's being able to follow God's leadings and reading and heeding the truths of His Word on a regular basis. Yeah, there's nothing really profound about that thought. We've heard it in church for years. Read your Bible, right? But again, the fact is that so often we are educated beyond our experience, and we think that we know. We think that we know the directions, but we don't read them. We don't really follow them. We don't really follow what the very simple principles of the Scripture are teaching us. If we want to be led of the Spirit, we've got to follow God's leading. We've got to be listening to those things that He is telling us. And I believe that because the Holy Spirit lives within us, He's talking to us all the time. He's saying things about our attitudes and about how we need to speak a word for Him in our wherever place. In our neighborhood, our school place, our workplace, how He's nudging us about attitudes that we have about our loved ones that is not right. And if we're listening, we hear those things. If we're opening the book and reading them, boy, the power to get it right is right there, because it's the Word that really speaks to us. Yes, I see Galatians 5 and Romans 12 so closely related. And then be transformed by the renewing of your minds, And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing will, perfect will. It should be on the screen there, the Romans 12, 2b. But be transformed. There's this change taking place as the old nature is dying out to the new nature, but it's this ongoing battle all of our life as we struggle to put it together. Is it a battle? Well, can we go to that prayer that it's right there with the Proverbs verse? Dear God, so far today, I've done pretty well. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I can honestly say I haven't been greedy, grumpy, unpleasant, selfish, or overindulgent today. And I am very thankful for this good life that you have given me. Now, Lord, I'm going to get up out of this bed and start my day. And from that point, I'm going to need a lot more help from you. So, Lord, please start helping me right now. I think that that place is the place that we all need to be. We always need that brokenness before God and that readiness to hear him. So I want to give you some application here. I want to give us a challenge of something that we can do. Let's go to the next screen here. I'm calling it a today prayer. And I've written it out for you in your notes. I would encourage you, if you're up to this idea, just to fold it and put it on the mirror of your bathroom or dresser or in your car. And this week, find yourself saying, Lord, I thank you for your undeserved mercy in my life. And today, I recommit. I'm wanting to choose to be transformed from the old to the new. I recommit my attitudes and actions to do. Help me, Lord. I do not want to allow myself to be squeezed and deceived by the destructive ways of the world. Rather, I want to be transformed by your Spirit and the truths of your word in my life today. In Jesus' name. It's funny how just consciously doing that will help us. And the Lord loves to answer prayers like that. You know, he works with us. His Holy Spirit's inside of us. And he begins to really quicken us and tune us in. In fact, I think this is all tied to the second step that I would like to challenge here. Again, nothing profound about this, but I find in my Christ life that it's often the basic things that I need to keep coming back and saying, this is what I need to do. And in fact, I alluded to this. Marin and I right now have a list of just a page of secondary verses that we're committing to memory. You know, we've been around the Bible all of our life. She's a wonderful teacher. I'm going to get her up here maybe next week if she's willing. I'm putting you on the spot, aren't I? But she teaches a women's Bible study group that has close to 100 women every week. She's very, very skilled in teaching the Bible. And obviously, we've been around it for a long time. But you know what we discover? It's just the simple things of coming back and actually memorizing more scripture, allowing the scripture into our life every day, that really changes our life, that really brings it alive again. My guess is that you need that too. We all need it all of our life. We need to find those fresh ways of connecting with the scripture. And in fact, I'm going to give you an idea here. We've gone through phases where we do this in our church on a regular basis. We call it the tap. The tap. Look on the back side of your outline. I've given you some homework. I give you a test, give you homework. Is this okay? It's about the Word of God. Notice the tap stands for three things. That you would write basically a little scripture journal this week. You only have to write a sentence in each of those blocks. But read Romans 12:1, the text that we've just done today, and write one truth that sticks out from that first verse in your life. One thing that you say, and I need to remember that. And then one practical application. A is application. And then one sentence prayer. You could probably do that. You read that verse, you sit there, you focus on it, you meditate, you just kind of let it wash through your mind a couple of minutes. You write a truth, you write an application, you write a prayer. And then you do that every day this week with a different verse as we work our way. And by Wednesday, you're down to verse 3. And guess what? That's what we do next week. So we'll cover verse 3, and then the next time we'll cover 4 to 8. I hope that this will spur you on in a new way to read the scripture. And I'll just say it over and over again. There's nothing profound about this. It's just saying, let's come back to the Word of God and to study it. And my wife gave me a signal of something I forgot. You know, we wanted to give you something as a reminder as well. We're into active learning, as I said. And here, Myrna, why don't you get that side over there? We did this in our church. It wasn't on Romans 12. It was actually on Galatians 5 a few weeks ago. Here, would you help me? Would you put one to every person in this section? And here, you want to help me with a bunch in this section? I'm sorry. You say, what in the world is he giving out now? Here we go. I want you to put this in your pocket. So you got lots of work to do this week, you know, to be reading your tap, be offering the everyday prayer, and I want you to put this in your pocket. And here's the thing here. One side, I mean, this is genuine, toughest grain, 20-point sandpaper that we got from Home Depot. And on the other side is Hobby Lobby's nice soft felt. And the idea is here to say, now, you know, in my life every day, I'm really making these decisions. I'm either choosing to be gruff and living by the old nature, or I'm choosing to live by the Spirit. Put it in your pocket, or in your purse, or in your car, or wherever. And yeah, we've got a few extras here. I don't need to take these back to Illinois, so I'm gonna, if anybody wants one for their family, you can have them. They're right here in the front row. But I just feel like it's always this ongoing decision that we're making. Are we really choosing to live by the Spirit, or are we choosing to live by the flesh, the old nature? And obviously, I could take this piece of sandpaper and rub it on this pulpit and make a real mess out of things very quickly. That's what we do with our old nature. We make messes. We make messes of our own lives and of others, but it's often that soft side that, you know, fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, you know that list. It's often that softer side. Or if you really need something to think about, it's thinking about loving God and loving people and being attentive to their felt needs. I encourage you to use this week. Put it somewhere, but again, what you're remembering is, am I living by the Spirit, or am I living by the flesh, the self side? Am I doing destructive things to others, or am I really following His Spirit? Let's pray. Lord, you love us so unconditionally. Thank you for Romans chapters 1 through 11. To think that we're such major mess-ups, every one of us, that sin is that which has totally ruined our relationship with you. And yet the wonderful story of the gospel. But God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I think of Romans 5:8. Oh, the gospel, we're grateful for it. We're such losers, and you have provided a way and forgiven us and given us hope. Thank you, Lord. And so, Lord, help us to do the follow-through, the therefore, to bring you into every day of our life with our surrender prayer. To bring you into every day of our life choosing to live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. To live as Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, a living sacrifice. Not conformed to this world. Not squeezed into the mold of this world. Oh, help us, Lord. I pray for this church. What a wonderful bunch of folks here. And I know their heart is to see a future, and you have it for them. Oh, Lord, help us all to cooperate. Help us to find that. Help us to listen to your Spirit and not just to ourselves. That's a big prayer, Lord, but we offer it to you in Christ's name.